Good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 13 through 21. This is called the parable of the rich fool. Luke 12, starting in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years, so take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' And so he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God." Amen. Sometimes in a group setting or a team, sometimes a work activity, a questioner is thrown out. Sometimes it's called an icebreaker. Has anybody ever heard of an icebreaker? To warm up the crowd so you can kind of kickstart some conversation. One of my favorite icebreaker questions is one that really gets to the heart. And it's this: if God all of a sudden made every day to be 25 hours long instead of 24 hours long, what would you do with the extra hour every day? Well, it's a really good question, because how someone answers that question tells you a lot about their heart, what's important to them, what they will prioritize, what's significant. Is it money? Is it themselves? Is it God? Is it others? Well, the parable of the rich fool shows us that life ultimately does not depend on worldly riches. Rather, even the most diligent preparations in the physical don't protect the soul, and they don't give spiritual life. Yes, this is a parable about loving ourselves, putting me, myself, and I first in line. So first take a look. Let's notice the focus, the priority of this man, and the words he repeats just in his little phrase and his decision of what he'll do with this great abundance. Let me read it again, starting in verse 18. "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And then I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul..." Did you get it? This is just selfishness. There's a focus that's very clear in this man's life. Who would he honor with the abundance that he's been given? Would he honor himself? Yes. With the first fruits of his produce? Yes. Having no regard or even recognition, from what we can tell, of God's hand of provision. See, this self-focused view drove him to be in complete control, right? Selfishness drives control. That's what, and you've seen that in your own life. I'm sure. Seen it in mine, right? That we don't trust anyone else, so we have to be in control. No dependence upon God. And apparently, helping the poor never even entered his mind. He simply thought about his own ease, pleasure, and security. By all this, what he's really engaging in is self-indulgence, right? One author said it this way: the rich fool neglected to care for his needy neighbors. He failed to thank God for his riches, and his life was centered on himself alone. But it's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Do we strive to secure our own futures, to control them? Is self-preservation our highest goal? Well, God's reply to the rich man is very telling. He says, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided?" For while he had much physical security and capital stored up monetarily, his spiritual bank registered zero. And this is what self-focus does. It produces a wrong focus, that our possessions and our works somehow secure a lasting inheritance with God. But we stand before God empty-handed, don't we? 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Only what we can give to God and others that we love in love is what lasts. Anything else done with a motive of self-interest will not last. Self-focus in this way is spiritual bankruptcy. And this is born out of a denial of the truth, a wrong view of the hand of God that's provided for us. James says it well in chapter 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Evil because it's a denying of God. It's a denying of God as our provider, sustainer, creator, giver of life. For whoever lives for himself is spiritually dead. This is what our parable tells us today. As we enter our time of confession, may we examine our hearts. Let's examine our motives, our priorities, our view of God. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It's always a good question for us to reflect on. Where is our heart? What is our treasure? Or as the last line of our text here says, he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Rich towards God. May this be our pursuit and joy. For we've been reconciled with God, free from being chained to a life of self-love. Free to love God and love others with our possessions, our words, our time, our service. So let's check our hearts. And remember, ask yourself, what would you do with an extra hour in the day? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching today, this parable of Christ. Lord, it reminds us and convicts us of our own self-focus when we put ourselves highest, even though through Christ we've been freed from that. We don't have to live that prison life anymore of just living for ourselves, but instead you have given us life, spiritual life of knowing you, of loving you, of serving you, of knowing the truth and walking in that. So Lord, we ask that you would convict us and quicken this within us today, that we would be rich towards you, that we would be rich towards you, and that would come forth out of a life that's been rescued by the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.